At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You have to ride them waves.
Charlotte Soccer Show, we are back. Danny Brams here with a special Friday edition of the show as we get ready for a history-making attempt for Charlotte FC Saturday at noon. It's a nooner kickoff at Yankee Stadium in NYC. And when we're talking about MLS history, very excited to welcome a guest to the show, back to the show. Please welcome Sasha Kleshchen back to the show, who knows very much about MLS history. He now covers MLS current day for Apple TV, crushes it on MLS 360, MLS Countdown, MLS Wrap-Up, all of it. Sasha, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We are very excited to have you here. I think last time we had you on the show was at the beginning of last season when Dean Smith was first getting started. And we were talking about Enzo Capetti, I think, trying to become a great goal scorer at MLS. Didn't happen.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, might as well have been a lifetime for sure. And in the interim, Enzo Capetti has come and gone. Karol Swiderski has come and gone. Patrick Ajimong has come and gone. And now it's Wilfred Zaha, Ashley Westwood, Pep Biel, Edon Toklamadi. And it's Charlotte FC chasing history. 9 wins in a row, tied the 2018 Seattle Sounders. I think you probably – did you play against the 2018 Seattle Sounders? I'm not sure, Sasha, but tell me a little bit about your thoughts on Charlotte FC going for history here.
Well, I think it's been remarkable to watch. I think it's been fantastic for all of us as viewers to see this team start the season hot, go through a big dip in the summertime, and now come back super hot at the right time. So I think if you're a Charlotte fan, it's exciting. I think for us, analyzing in the studio, it was a little tough to figure out. At the beginning of the season, I said Miami's the best team in the East, and I think Charlotte is second best. Then they went on this massive losing streak and everybody was throwing pie in my face. And listen, they are back now and they're looking like the team I thought they were. They're tough to play against. They're strong in the midfield. They've got difference makers up front. Toklamadi looks like a gem right now, right? He is making everybody forget who Patrick Ajimon was. I think he's an upgrade on Patrick Ajimon. I think he's a better soccer player. I think he's more dangerous. And obviously, I think we've seen that Dean Smith knows what he's doing. Seems like his players love him. He knows how to get the best out of all of them. And that moment last week where they tie the record and he is suspended and he's up in the owner's box doing the Poznan, like you can't hate on this guy. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah, Dino is at the wheel, as we like to say. We also have a saying for that feeling, that phenomenon you experienced of the big win streak and then the big sink losing streak and then now getting hot again. This is what we always say.
It'd be great if performances just went like that, and it never does. You know, there's always, you know, there's always a little downturn somewhere, and you have to ride them waves. And
got to ride them waves. That's what we do here.
Spot on. And this is Major League Soccer as well. There's a reason why there's so much parity, and at the beginning of every season, every team thinks they can win the championship. You don't have that literally in any other league in the entire world, which makes Major League Soccer so exciting. And so a team like Charlotte, who is the best team in the league at home, riding that wave, getting on this win streak at the right time, trying to finish as high as they can in the Eastern Conference because they want to play as many games as possible at the bank. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and the winning streak has sort of overshadowed this chase for the Supporters Shield, which may be a little bit of a lost cause. You tell me what, again, go back, just rely on your experience and things you've seen. But, you know, 4 points back with four matches to play does seem a little bit of a long shot for that Supporters Shield, but it's not out of the question.
No, it's not out of the question. The problem is that Charlotte doesn't control their own destiny at this point, right? So I could see them winning their last four games and finishing on 65 points, but I could also see Cincinnati winning their last four games and then it's out of their hands, right? So Philadelphia as well, they've got a decent schedule. Obviously, that last game of the season, Charlotte-Philadelphia, could be the Supporters' Shield match. Plus, you've also got Inter-Miami, who has a really easy schedule coming in with a lot of games in hands. Yes, they have to play every 3 days, and that can be tough, but with Messi, you can never count them out. So this Supporters' Shield race has really been one for the ages, one of the best I've ever seen and I can ever remember. And I really hope it all comes down to that final day and we just get a whole bunch of chaos.
Yeah, it really would be nice. I said it when I was talking to Warren Barton on the show last week. If Charlotte just had not given up that last second final kick of the game loser in Philadelphia, they'd be 2 points closer and things might be a little bit more realistic in that final day showdown, that decision day showdown. It would be great if that did come down to something, even if it's just Charlotte needs a result to hold top four or something like that, you know, with Miami surging and things like that. So it is nice to be playing such meaningful soccer, going for this streak to set the record, to get the 10 wins, to separate away from the 2018 Seattle Sounders. It's going to take a win early kickoff in Yankee Stadium. Dean Smith talked about that last night, and he said, hey, you know, like, I watched the NYC Columbus match midweek, which was a great match. New York City, never say die. They went down twice, came back, and ended up winning 3-2 right in the end of the match. And Dean said it was a frantic game, a frenetic game. It's all about second balls playing in Yankee Stadium. Do you agree? And how does an early kickoff shape the texture of that match?
Early kickoff, first and foremost, I don't love it. You know, I love playing under the lights when the weather is a little bit cooler, the grass is a little bit more wet. It just seems like the game can be a little bit faster. And with such an early kickoff also, you know, it's got a mentality has to adjust because you're waking up a little bit earlier, you're eating earlier, you're getting to the stadium earlier. It's this whole different thing, but these guys are professionals. They've been through it. So that's first and foremost. Second, I think Dean is spot on with the way the game is played at Yankee Stadium. It's a much smaller field than many other stadiums in MLS. Second balls do become very important. How fast can you win the ball and play forward? Because you can get forward much quicker. The like I said, the field's small. Set pieces become very important as well because it's even more narrow. You get that extra 3 yards on both sides. That means delivering a corner kick is much easier to the exact spot that you want it. We've seen guys like Toklamati be unbelievable on set pieces. So the way this guy jumps and can score headers, I think, becomes a really big part of the game as well. So New York City's good. They've had some really bad and weird results against non-playoff teams this year, which makes you question them, but they've also had some really great results against very good teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think this game sets up to be really good. Charlotte definitely has a chance to set the record in this game. When you win that many games in a row, it becomes a habit, and you don't remember how to lose. You think you're only going to win, and you enter each game thinking we're going to win this game. And so the confidence level, I think, is sky high for Charlotte right now. They've got a great opportunity to be Major League Soccer record holders.
Yeah, and we all want to see it. I think as Charlotte, the super fans here in this market, which it is, there's a bit of a casual fandom, and things have slipped away from the 35,000 we were seeing in the first couple of years of this club. Now we're seeing consistently 20, 25, 26, 27 in the stadium, which is still a lot and it's still great. But those of us who have considered ourselves super fans from the beginning, we have a bit of a chip on our shoulder. And we don't see ourselves getting the love from the national media that in Atlanta got in the late last part of last decade, that LAFC has continued to get, even that St. Louis was getting in their expansion project. Everyone's fallen all of themselves now for San Diego, what Dreyer is doing and whatnot. And Charlotte has always felt like we never had our turn in the spotlight there as far as being the darlings. And maybe it's because of the launch being delayed a year for COVID, or just the fact that we fired our manager on Memorial Day of our first season, or, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. But it is finally nice to sort of have the attention of the league and have everyone paying attention to us.
I think you've got the attention of everybody in Major League Soccer, and that's including all the other top teams in the Eastern Conference. I talked about this the other night on the show, is when you're in a supporter shield race, you are watching all the teams around you and you're just hoping and praying that they lose. So you better believe that a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference are watching Charlotte games, hoping that they lose, because they don't want to see Charlotte with home field advantage. They know how tough it is to go there. Miami just saw it. And in a huge moment in the game, when it's 0-0 and Messi has the penalty and Kalina stuffs him, goes down the other way, you know, 60 seconds later and scores the goal, and that place erupted. You don't want to be there for a match like that in the playoffs. And so I think teams are watching Charlotte and watching and hoping that they lose at this point in the season, because they really don't want to see them in the top four.
Yeah, and I'm showing some highlights now for those watching on YouTube, just of the Toklamati hat trick and that sweeping move, the ball out to Vargas and cutting it back. That was an electric moment in the stadium. I was lucky enough to be there pretty up close, had really good seats, and just the whole place erupted, like you said. And then Toklamati keeps going. Beautiful ball from Zaha here. And Bronico just like putting it to a spot, knowing that sort of nonverbal communication. And then, you know, getting the penalty at the end. Zaha drew it but gave the ball up to the kid to get a hat trick. It was just a great night at Bank of America Stadium. And I just wonder, like, you mentioned how good you feel about Toklamati before, but what is really the upside for this kid?
Well, upside is massive. I think we had our This Is MLS show on Wednesday, and, you know, Bradley Wright Phillips is the striker, you know, expert, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you give this guy a full season of starting every game, I think he gets you 15 to 20 goals. And I said, he's almost at 15 goals right now, and he's only started maybe 12 games this season, if that.
He's on 11,
11, exactly. So I really like the way he plays the game. I think he understands himself, which is a big part of being a good player, is understanding what you're good at and just doing that, right? And so very dynamic, very fast, very good at one-touch finishing. And so the best compliment I can give to strikers is that they put themselves in the right position and they're ready to finish in one touch. I think almost every one of his goals this season has been a one-touch finish. And so the fact that he also stepped up, I loved this moment specifically right here where Zaha gave him the ball. He even looks to Zaha again before he takes it, almost to get like an affirmation, like, you're good, you got this. And then he goes to celebrate with him right after. That was cool from a leadership standpoint from Zaha, who I think had a really up and down first 3 months in Major League Soccer, with maybe even more downs than up, and some of us questioning his desire and his mentality. He's been fantastic for the last 3 months, and that's the Zaha that we all expected. You know, I predicted he would be the MLS newcomer of the year coming into the season. He's not going to win that award, but he's pushed himself forward in the last 3 months to be one of the best players in Major League Soccer that we all thought he was.
Yeah, he's become a fan favorite here in Charlotte for sure. The way that he speaks sets an expectation level where, and it's nice because we've got Ashley Westwood, who's the captain, who really sets a tone of like professionalism, you know, business, you know, do your job, everybody, you know, pick the other guy up. And that's very important. And then Wilfred Zaha is sort of the guy who challenges everyone to dream and to be, and to sort of play bigger than they are. And it's a very good mix that Dean Smith has cultivated. The culture here in Charlotte is going very strong, and it's a testament to the culture that's being created and then evolved that Zaha could come in and join that and not be, you know, he's certainly a guy that draws a lot of attention to himself. And I've always said, like, some of the stuff where he's like, I got all these haters coming at me and I don't necessarily see the haters. I'm like, are you inventing these haters, Wilf? What's the deal? But athletes do that sometimes. Either way, he's made it work for him to the point where everything seems to be clicking.
Yeah, I think there's a great dynamic within the team. You know, you analyzed it very well that sometimes athletes do tell themselves, listen, everybody hates me and I have to prove everybody wrong. And it's not reality, right? But that's what works for him. He needs that fight, that desire. But the dynamic between him and Ashley Westwood, we've had Ashley Westwood on our show to interview him in the pregame 6 times this season.
Yeah.
We joked with him, like, we got to be paying you at this point. You're basically part of the show. And he will answer anything openly and honestly. And he always is giving rave reviews about all of his teammates. And so I could just imagine that him in the locker room, gassing up all his teammates, telling them they're the best, giving them confidence. And then the way he supports them on the field, I think is amazing. And then, yeah, Wilf is the guy that does the crazy stuff on the field that makes you believe, that gives you confidence in the things that he does. And so I think it's a really great dynamic. Then another guy we haven't really talked about, Tim Ream, who I thought in the first half of the season, his level was falling off. And then I think in the second half of the season, in the last few months, he's been very good again and has stepped up his game, and leader in the back, obviously super experienced. So you've got really good experienced players on each level on the field. That's really key.
Yeah, I think eyes on the World Cup for Tim Ream has certainly motivated him to show his best form. And don't think that Ashley Westwood is not considering those appearances as auditions, because they joke with him that he is forsaken his British heritage and he is 100% American now. He's completely Americanized himself. He's not going anywhere when his career is done. He's staying here in the USA. And I'm quite certain he wouldn't mind getting a seat on that Apple broadcast one way or the other.
He's been amazing. And listen, the whole midfield has the last thing I want to talk about before I got to go is Brant Bronico, and what he's done to add to the team has been amazing. The crazy thing is now how good Pep Biel was before his injury.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. MVP candidate. Right. And at this point, I don't think you can put him back into the starting lineup, because of how the team is. You can't change a winning team that's won 9 games in a row. So yeah. Pep Biel has to wait his turn now to come in to play as a sub, to be a difference maker off the bench, because Bronico has added a different dynamic. He works super hard. He runs like crazy. He covers ground. He makes those late runs in the box. He shows up in the right place at the right time. That partnership that he has with Westwood in the midfield right now, I think, has to stay. Eventually, Pep Biel will find his way back in the team, because he's an amazing soccer player and has been so efficient in the final third. But I don't think you can change a winning team right now, which is crazy to say. At the beginning of the year, we would have said Brant Bronico starting over Pep Biel. I don't think anybody would have said that.
Yeah, and let Bronico cook. He's worked so hard that his hard work has transformed him and has also developed his talent and his technical ability along with it. It's so good to see. And as Dean Smith said, you'd have to be a braver man than me to bench that boy after you see like some of the advanced analytics and things like that. So
100%.
Yeah. Sasha, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. I can't wait to watch the coverage tomorrow, because we got the early kickoff. Charlotte FC is kicking off early. That's going to give us lots of time to watch the MLS coverage on Apple later in the day, if we're not too wasted partying and celebrating a record win streak. Should be a great day.
Yeah, it will be a great one. Looking forward to it too.
Excellent. Thank you, Sasha Kleshton. And it's for the crown, baby.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.